As we've been reporting, last week's bombings resulted in 3 deaths and some 200 injuries. As tragic as this event was for many, the death rate was surprisingly low. According to a 2010 study by the Israeli National Trauma Registry, explosions in civilian settings are 3 times deadlier than those in combat, mainly because civilians tend to range widely in age and in health, and most notably because civilians don't wear body armor. So how is it that the death toll last Monday wasn't higher? This morning, the leading medical journal, The Lancet, praised Boston's response to the bombings, calling it an example for the global medical community. WBUR's Martha Biebinger covers health for us. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Anthony.
Also with us is Boston EMS Chief Jimmy Hooley. Welcome to Radio Boston, Chief Hooley. Good to have you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Martha, let's start with you. The Boston Marathon is no stranger to medical emergencies. In fact, they prepare for them every year. So this probably explains in a big way why the response was so quick, right?
Yes. I mean, for years, the marathon has been known as a planned disaster or a planned mass casualty event because they knew they could prepare in advance for the fact that they were going to have hundreds, sometimes thousands of runners seeking medical care either during or after the race. So for months in advance, they meet with teams, field leaders that include people who oversee medical records, the short-term triage, family runner relations, equipment, ambulances. Everything is planned in advance. And in fact, becomes a model for how the city could respond to an actual disaster.
So there's an emergency medical tent, of course, at the finish line, and all the hospitals are on alert as well.
That's right. That's right. They do, and the hospitals do their own drills separate from the marathon planning, but the idea is that they're ready to kick in with that level of care if needed.
Chief Jimmy Hooley, let me come to you. Tell us your perspective about what happened that day. How did Boston EMS mobilize?
Well, you know, obviously I was working that day, as were most of the people in my department. You know, on a typical day in Boston, business day, we might have had 25 ambulances covering the city, you know, spread out ALS and BLS. And with the event of this size, we had an additional 95 or so extra personnel. You know, in previous years, we do collect a few casualties down there and and bring them back. So we had a lot of that in place.
And was there training for an event like this?
We do do regular disaster drills. And, you know, we typically think of more like transportation accidents or somewhere, you know, a bus accident like we had in Brighton a few months ago. Unfortunately, ever since, actually even before 2001, going back to, you know, the Oklahoma City bombings and stuff, there's been, you know, federal programs that did bring a lot of training to this area where we have done training and exercise for bombings, for active shooters, and try to put the emphasis there on rapid response, rapid assessment, and sorting out the patients who are alive, who, you know, prioritizing them. Those that have to get not just to an emergency room, but have to make it to an operating room.
Right. So there's a real sort of, there's a real exercise in triage there. And Martha, once these patients arrive at the various hospitals, what happened then?
Well, we know that there were calls for all available doctors and personnel in the emergency departments. We know some doctors ran from the tents once they were sure that the more serious need was at the hospitals. Doctors who had volunteered to be at the tents and nurses as well ran to their individual hospitals. We know they worked 24, 36-hour shifts, not leaving or taking breaks and coming back onto the scene as needed. The hospitals, as you said, Anthony, were on alert. So when those plans kicked in, they just kept kicking in to the level needed to accommodate these very seriously wounded patients who were coming in.
Mm. Chief Hooley, let me come back to you. And I want to be careful how I ask this question, just because obviously this was a day that killed and maimed and altered people's lives forever. But were you surprised by the relatively low death toll, given the potential deadliness of these blasts?
Yes. The two things that I'm, you know, the most proud of in my 35 years now with Boston EMS was, one, the, you know, the action and the effort of all our personnel that day, and all the medical staff and the police and other first responders and who leapt into action. In your introduction, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about what other studies and other places have shown. The fact is, so far, the three people who tragically died, they succumbed to their injuries immediately. Of everybody who reached a Boston hospital alive, the fact that they're still alive today is our most satisfying, you know, achievement that we played a part in that. And the fact that our dispatch center up at Boston CMed was able to distribute these patients pretty evenly among the five adult level one trauma centers in Boston and the one pediatric level one trauma center, which is at Children's, I think is also a testament to the training, cooperation, and everything that, that this city has done in the last 15 years.
You know, there's a sort of an amazing irony here, and that is that the emergency medical response to the marathon is the city's model for how to respond to mass casualties. How strange that it became the target of an attack. Chief Hooley, I'm sure you've given that some thought in the last week.
Yeah, because as Martha was saying, like, you know, we consider these planned disasters and we go through it in that way. And even though you're down there preparing for what you think are going to be a lot of predictable illnesses and minor injuries, you always have to be prepared if, God forbid, something bad comes your way.
Well, we've heard the slogan Boston Strong. According to many, the slogan could also be Boston Ready. Martha, I'm wondering what standard has Boston set here? Are other cities looking at Boston, or what can other cities learn?
There's no question that Boston will offer lots of lessons in terms of the type of planning and the type of drills to do. But Chief Hooley, I'm curious, the fact that Boston has these five level one trauma centers plus Children's, I mean, that's not something other cities can very easily replicate. And as you said, being able to distribute this large number of patients among those hospitals, that was fairly critical, right?
That certainly favored, I think, the success of the system. We train regularly with hospitals. We know they're disaster coordinators. We participate in each other's drills. But more importantly, the police department, the fire department, the mayor's office of emergency management, they include the hospitals in their drills. It was great to know that going in.
Well, Chief Hooley, a lot of amazing people did a lot of incredible work that awful day last week. So I just want to say this to you, to thank you for everything you and your team did that helped save so many lives. Thank you.
Thank you very much for saying that.
And thanks for talking to us today. That's Jimmy Hooley. He's chief of Boston EMS. Also with us, WBUR healthcare reporter Martha Biebinger. Thank you as well, Martha.
Sure, Anthony.
We're going to end the show today with music from the great Richie Havens. He died yesterday at the age of 72. Havens was a folk singer whose distinctive guitar playing and voice never lost the tone and politics of 1960s Greenwich Village, where he perfected his craft. He stepped onto the national stage in a big way in 1969 when he opened the Woodstock Music Festival. He wrote a lot of his own music, of course, but he was best known for his unique interpretations of the anthems of his generation. So we'll end today with Richie Havens' cover of the Beatles' classic, Here Comes the Sun.
Little darling, it's been a long, long, lonely winter. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, will be back tomorrow. Join us then for more Radio Boston.
Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right, it's all right.